Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Well, in the second half, the Daily Wire's Matt Walsh is going to join us. We'll also have Adam Ray hang in. We'll do the news as well. First, there's Geico.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
If you want to last longer than a week, you give me a blue job. Fear get you using the money that I make you a swallow.
If you said showgirls.
If you want to last longer than a week, you give me a blowjob. First I get you used to the money, then I make you swallow.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Matt Walsh, political commentator, host, and author. I hear his podcast quite frequently on the Daily Wire. He's got a documentary out called What is a Woman? It's available now on the Daily Wire and, of course, the Matt Walsh Show as well. New episodes Monday through Friday on the Daily Wire. Good to see you, Matt Walsh.
Hey, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Now, I know this new doc is upsetting people. You go out and you ask the question, what is a woman? And it's...
I can see the controversy.
It's very controversial now. I know you guys had a... I think you had a launch party last night or the other night. And did it get hacked into or what was the scuttlebutt?
Yeah, there was a cyber attack. There was a, I learned what a DDoS attack is, which I'd never heard of before, and I still don't quite understand it. But basically, you know, there was something that happened behind the scenes to kind of flood the servers to try to kick people out of the premiere. We still had, you know, a record-breaking premiere for our company and a lot of subscribers and everything. So they weren't – really, it kind of backfires because all they did was make it into more of a story, which gives us more of an excuse to talk about it. And so I think in the end, it kind of works out for us.
Nice.
Did – And I know you even went to Africa to talk to tribesmen and ask them what a woman was. Can you share that experience?
Yeah, well, we went, first of all, we went all around the country talking to, you know, so-called experts, professors, pediatricians, scientists, and so on, gender-affirming therapists about this issue of gender ideology. And couldn't get an answer from anybody in America, no matter where we went. So finally we decided we got to go somewhere else, like outside of the Western bubble. We went all the way to Kenya. We went down into the African bush, down into the wilderness. We found the Maasai tribe down there, you know, very kind of traditional tribe. They live in huts made out of cow dung, and they don't have, you know, electricity or any of that kind of stuff. and very, you can't get any further outside of the Western bubble than that. And we talked to them about their own notions of gender, and I told them what's going on over here and what people's ideas are here about gender. And, you know, these days in America, we have women with penises and all the rest of it. And they were quite scandalized to learn this and shocked and horrified. But it was also, I think it was kind of interesting just to see, because when you live every day with gender ideology, sometimes it becomes kind of normalized. But then when you go to someone who doesn't have this framework at all and you try to explain to them what's happening here, it kind of reveals the total abject absurdity of it. So
well,
this
how,
is pretty interesting.
What percentage of people who buy into this nonsense are simply scared? So you had recently COVID, and you had to buy into everything, otherwise you'd be ostracized. I don't know. Look, I was just in Napa. I saw the French Laundry. Our governor, Gavin Newsom, who were still under emergency orders, was there with 26 of his closest friends and no masks. Now, he's not scared of COVID, but there are optics. And I feel like most people are being pushed by optics. Black Lives Matter turned out to be complete crock and a bust. But most people are scared of Black Lives Matter. They're scared of COVID and getting on the wrong side of that. They're scared of this whole gender thing that most people don't answer just because they're frightened. Because I feel like we've had our society hijacked by a very small minority of fucking lunatics. And for some reason, they're marching at the front of the parade and we all have to follow them over a cliff into the abyss. And if you step up and go, this is patently insane, I'm not doing this, whether it's Black Lives Matter, COVID, or now all the transgendered stuff, you may be deplatformed or lose your job. How many people are just scared versus actually buy into this nonsense?
Yeah, amen to all that, first of all. I think that's exactly right. What we encountered the most was we encountered a lot of fear. There's kind of fear and anger. And the fear was mostly from the average people on the street, because everywhere that we went, if we were talking, if we had an interview with a doctor, a professor or something, we would, after or before the interview, go out onto the street and just try to talk to average people walking around. And what we found there is exactly that. People were very afraid. There was a lot of confusion. There did seem to be some very real, genuine confusion, which is depressing in and of itself. But even more than that, people were terrified to talk about this. I mean, we would just try to stop people and say, hey, we're doing this documentary talking about gender. And, you know, people will usually stop to talk to us. But then once they see where the questions are going, that we had plenty of people that said, they told us, like, I can't talk about this on camera. I'll lose my job. I'll lose all my friends, all this kind of stuff. We had that kind of conversation over and over again with people. So there's a whole lot of fear. The anger really came from the so-called experts, the people who are actually pushing this stuff. And the anger from them is just like, how dare you sit across from me and actually ask me real questions? Because you're supposed to just listen while I say whatever I'm going to say and sit there slack-jawed and just nod your head. If you actually ask them, if you express any skepticism at all, it doesn't have to be a tough question, just any question at all. And they start to get very defensive. And that's what we discovered in the film. It didn't take much to make those kinds of people flustered and angry and storming out of the room and everything.
When you said you asked all the people in America, like, what a woman was, and you didn't get, nobody could answer, what did they give an answer? It just wasn't like the answer you were looking for. And then you went to Kenya, or was it just, did they just go no comment?
A lot of, plenty of no comments.
A pediatrician didn't know what a woman was?
Correct. A lot of non-answers. So the pediatrician you'll see in the film, when we get to that question with her, she says, I ask her, what's a woman? And I think she says something like, well, it's a constellation. It's different things to different people. Like, what the hell does that even mean? The one answer, like, quote unquote answer we got a lot, including from a women's studies professor. So this is what he does, like, is women's studies, and women's right there in the title of his job. And so I said, well, what is that? What are you studying? Women's studies. And he said, well, a woman is anyone who identifies as a woman. But what are they identifying as? It's like, that doesn't make any sense. It's like saying a tree is anything that is a tree. Like, okay, you haven't told me anything about trees. I still don't know what a tree is. So there was a lot of that, these circular kinds of definitions. And you try to unravel it as best you can, but it's just, it's a very hard nut to crack.
Did you ask any kids? Like, my nephew, who's seven, is definitely a member of the Kids Say the Darndest Things tribe. Like, my friend Brad, who's a little person, when he met him, he asked Brad what happened. And Brad said, I didn't eat my vegetables, which was very funny. But he had no filter, and I feel like a kid would give a good response to, you know, could actually maybe even articulate more what a woman is, more so than a pediatrician.
A la Kindergarten Cop.
Great answer.
Thank you.
It's true, but the problem, a Kindergarten Cop is a good example, but the problem is like what they're telling kids in kindergarten these days. I mean, they're you should be able to get just the innocent, childlike, simple, correct response, but so many children they're being told at an age when they couldn't possibly have the psychological capacity to sort through the nonsense and be skeptical. They're being told that, you know, basically men and women don't exist and it's all arbitrary and subjective and everything else. So we didn't actually talk to any kids. And one of the reasons is that I didn't want to be responsible for introducing this concept to little kids, because I think that they should be, you know, innocent and allowed to live their lives free of this.
Yeah.
But I think that's one of the problems, is that even kids, especially kids actually, are having this stuff imposed on them.
What would you tell a kid? I've famously said on this show many a times, when I was a fat kid, I was teased with names such as Jello Jiggler and Penis and Tits Kid. So how would you, if you're a kid in 1995,
you're ahead of the game, man. Yeah.
What's that?
I was ahead of the game.
Like, how, you know, some of these kids, yeah, were really
identifying.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, they were basically saying I had both.
Hey, there's no question in that. He just wanted to say that he was called Penis and Tits Kid when he was in the ninth
which
grade.
Which is our favorite
on the Vanguard.
But I have a bigger, more complex question, which is I don't believe things kind of exist in a bubble. I think there's a kind of a end game to a lot of stuff. And I've always believed that if you can convince the most basic thing a society has is basically men and women. Like, you can say, well, Democrat, Republican, or you can say Steelers fan, Ravens fan, or whatever it is, or I like cold cereal, I like hot cereal, but at its essence, male, female. And if we can't agree on that, then everything is up for grabs. In my way of looking at it, we could argue about anything at this
anything
point
on the table for discussion.
It's all on the table. Mm-hmm. And I think there's an end game, which is everything has to be on the table. And this is a good way to get there. But is there something nefarious afoot that you've sussed out, or are we just nuts and bored?
I think there's a lot of that. I think a lot of people are just bored, but also there is something nefarious afoot. And I think you're exactly correct that the end game is, it's relativism. I mean, this is where this all comes from. It comes from the left, and it's a relativistic worldview where everything is relative to how I feel. I have my own truth. We ran into that a lot. I mean, that was the other thing that came up all the time from all these people, including the so-called experts. We would always get, eventually you get away from the subject, and first we have to debate whether or not truth exists. And so what I heard over and over again is, well, whose truth are we talking about? Whose reality is this? And I would always have to say, like, well, you and I are sitting in a room together, and so clearly there's some kind of shared reality. 2 + 2 = 4. I mean, that's not my reality. That's just a reality in the universe. But they wouldn't even grant that, which, by the way, to go to a medical professional who believes that we all have our own truth, our own reality, is pretty disturbing. Because if I'm getting medical treatment from a doctor and she believes that, then like the treatment she's giving me, is that treatment that works in my reality or yours or both? You know, so I think that's kind of the ultimate project, is just to destroy any concept of objective reality. We're already seeing kind of the slippery slope come to fruition. I have in the film, I talked to someone who identifies as a wolf. We talked to a therapist who says that kids, there are kids in school now who identify as cats, and they walk around and they're supposed to be affirmed as cats. It sounds crazy. It is crazy, of course.
It's not crazy.
It's also actually happening.
Hold on.
In fourth grade, I went to school with a girl named Jenny Taylor who thought she was a cat, and she scratched our teacher every other day. She meowed instead of
saying.
But
was that affirmed?
What's that?
Was it affirmed?
Would a teacher put out a saucer of milk
for
her?
No, it was just kind of, you know, this was still like early 90s when everyone was just like, you know, I'm a cat. And everyone goes, you're a psycho. And we'll just look the other way, right?
So Gina, no milk was put out. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's interesting that you went to the Maasai tribe. All I remember about them is the Maasai basic technology shoes because they can jump better than all of us. That's literally all I know. But it's so interesting to go outside our culture and look. And the first thing it made me think of, because I probably saw a documentary about it years ago, the hijra. I think I'm saying that right. Hijra in South Asia, like in India. Apparently, there's like 3 million people who identify as that, and that's essentially a third gender. And it's very widely accepted. And I think it's mostly men who identify and dress as female, but it's like very accepted. And I'm just wondering if you were able to go to the other, another culture that it completely just sort of accepts it as is.
Yeah, I'm not specifically familiar with the example you're talking about. I have looked into the claims you hear. Oftentimes from the left, they'll say that, well, you know, because what they want to claim is that the so-called gender binary is a Western construct, and the idea that men are men and women are women is a Western colonialist white thing. If you go outside of that, then everybody is much more progressive, which of course is like the opposite of the truth. And then I get these examples of other cultures where supposedly they have some version of transgenderism. The ones that I have looked into, and I don't know about the exact example you're giving, but I suspect this is probably the case there too, that what they have is, it's not like transgenderism as we know it. In other cultures, they may have this kind of spiritual idea. It's a very kind of religious. But do they believe that a man can literally be a woman? Like a man with a penis can actually be, in every sense, a woman. I'm not aware of any culture aside from ours that would affirm that.
The problem that I always have with it, and there was a story, I think it was trying to think where I heard it, but we had one out here where I think the guy was 17 at the time, and he followed like a 10-year-old girl into the bathroom or the IHOP, and then he sexually assaulted and or raped the woman and the young girl in the bathroom, I think the Denny's or the IHOP, and then later on,
probably IHOP,
started identifying as a female. And then when we tell the story, even though the guy's got a beard and hasn't had any surgeries, we tell the story where she followed the young girl into the bathroom, mm-hmm. and then she sexually assaulted. It's like it's lost all meaning. It doesn't have the gravity that it would have had. She followed her into the bathroom. No, he followed her into the bathroom. We have to, we'll fix it up. I think there was just a story out of the Daily Mail or maybe the New York Times or something where they just went and changed the story. Like they just edited it on their own.
Oh, because someone is previously published.
Yeah. Story. Someone is just in prison who thinks they're a female now. And now we have to go back and retroactively change the crime into she raped. And then she pulled out her penis and exposed her penis. Yeah. It's insane. We have labels for a reason.
Was this the one that impregnated her inmate friends?
She got two. She impregnated two of her inmate friends, I think. No, there was the bathroom rape one in Denny's. That was the one with our DA and the jailhouse confession and the conversation with the dad. And then the other one was then the female, who's a male, went to the female prison and they got two female prisoners impregnated. It's insanity. And someone needs to reel it in. And I have no idea how they sold all this shit, but somehow they sold it that if you didn't buy into utter insanity, you were somehow bigoted. And it worked.
It did. And they sold it based on what you said at the beginning, which is fear. Most people, even now, if you talk to them and you don't have cameras on and it's off the record, it's going to be really hard to find someone who, for example, thinks that, a dude at University of Pennsylvania should swim against women. Like it's very hard in real life without cameras on to find someone who actually believes that. But most of the common sense normal people fell silent and allowed this extreme minority to take over. And the problem is, that extreme minority, they're not just walking around in the street. In fact, most of them aren't. They own the institutions like Hollywood, media, academia. So this has been, although it feels like something that kind of was leaped on us over the last 5 years, this is a process over the course of generations of kind of taking over these institutions. And now, there could be a real penalty if you simply exhibit common sense on this issue, all the most powerful institutions can conspire against you to destroy your life.
Well, but, the transgendered swimmer,
Thomas.
Yeah, her teammates all put together, they all signed anonymously. They all signed a thing that
Wait
said this is unfair, but it was anonymous. That's the whole point.
Anonymous and unanimous? It's everybody.
Yeah, they didn't want to be thrown off a campus or ostracized. They were scared. Brian's got a question, but Emmy, you got to find, I'll think of his name, the great clip, the Minister of Defense.
Reggie.
No, Reggie is the Minister of Defense, Deacon Jones.
Oh, well, because his name's Deacon. Yes.
Was the original minister. His swim technique to get past the tackle. Yeah, we got to play that for Matt
Walsh. You pulled that up
last
time I was
it's my favorite. Matt, you're going to love this clip because you're talking about hearkening back. You know, this isn't 10 minutes old. I can show you Deacon Jones doing an NFL clip from 1971 where he talks about
gender inclusive.
Gender inclusive, but go ahead, Brian.
Oh, sorry. There are two questions. First one, I don't know that anyone in this room is qualified to answer. Maybe Matt, in your research, where does I don't know what the proper term is these days. Hermaphrodites is what we called them in the day. Gender,
two sex,
yeah,
two
gender ambiguous genitalia. Where does that fit in? Because these are people who legitimately, I guess, have a claim to either or.
Yeah, that's intersex. Know? We talk about that. We talk about that a little bit in the film, and we talked to Deborah So, who's like an actual scientist, and she talks about that also in some of the books that she's written. Well, intersex, I mean, this is first of all a small, tiny fraction sliver of the population. It's a genetic deformity. It's a physical deformity. It's a genetic condition
right. That
makes the genitalia ambiguous. But that doesn't mean that they don't have a sex. It just means that it's unlike almost everybody else on Earth. It's not immediately obvious for them because of their genetic deformity. But the thing is, that has nothing to do with, even if I were to grant that, okay, that's a third sex. It's not, but even if I said it was, what does that have to do with trans? Like, how does that validate a biological male who we can all tell is male saying that he's a female? Like, well, how is he validated by intersex?
The only reason it jumped into my mind is because you were going on and on about, you mentioned more than once about, you know, a woman with a penis or, you're very much on the visual or the... I don't know, the mechanical, and this would be someone with both, I guess. But you are right, that's a very small minority.
If you are a hermaphrodite, that means you have both, mm-hmm. yeah?
I mean,
so
do
you get your pick then of, like, let's say you are at a sports bar, you want to go to either, or you get either...
The line's too long at the girls'
you get to, but then how do you need to, like, prove that with, like, a card or a photo? Like,
sure.
What is... You
like, get clear, yeah.
Everyone gets their pick.
We get
these days. Anyone can go to any bathroom. Yeah,
we got Deacon Jones explaining, and again, this goes back to the
it's a trailblazer,
probably late 60s, early 70s. So listen carefully.
Atkins' threat of breaking arms was the reality of the Deacon Jones head slap.
The head slap was to do two purposes. One was to give myself an initial head start on the pass rush. In other words, an extra step. Because anytime you go upside a man's head or a woman, then they have a tendency to blink their eyes or close their eyes, and that was all I needed.
Wait, a lot of women, offensive linemen in the 70s.
Wait, your personal life?
So, Matt, you're right. It's been around for a while because he'd go upside a man or a woman's head to get to the quarterback.
A guy who truly didn't discriminate.
Very inclusive, yeah.
That was my favorite NFL films clip of all time. The movie is called What is a Woman? One Man's Journey. And there's a book as well, the documentary, What is a Woman? And it's available now on the Daily Wire. Keep up the good work, Matt. I enjoy listening to you, and say hi to Ben and the rest of the crew over there at the Daily Wire.
Will do. Thanks a lot, Adam. Appreciate it.
All right. Let's see. Yeah, Hannah Tubbs was the name of the Denny's gal from 2014, although it wasn't Hannah at the time.
Oh, well, the adult.
Hannah's the adult that goes by the,
I'm sorry, but if you're choosing a new identity, Hannah Tubbs would be the last choice on my list.
Well, I think she's stuck with Tubbs, although I guess you could.
He was Hank.
You got to change you got to go with Crockett is the first name if you got the last name of Tubbs. I mean, as long as you're picking new first name.
He's a sharp looking dude.
Mm-hmm.
He, for a second, I was like, Matt? I was like, oh, if the Verizon guy became a rabbi.
He's
got a good beard.
Right,
the beard. Yeah. Sometimes when I see a beard so good, I have to almost go, is that Velcroed on?
Right. Or is that...
Yeah. So the color, the grooming.
At the very least, are we using some Grecian formula?
Because I've never, I don't know if you guys have, let it grown so big to where you've needed like creams, brushes, ointments to really get it to be that good. What's that?
Balms.
Balms, yeah.
I have the black man's beard and I get the ingrown hairs and it gets very scratchy and it's all about beard
in it.
Direction.
Mm.
If it goes all different directions, you're going to get all the ingrown hairs.
Yeah,
and you can't shave one direction because it's all going different directions. But some guys, and then there's the poor guys that get, they got nothing. They can't do the beard. They can't connect the sideburns to the chin.
Ugh.
But sometimes they make, Ethan Hawke kind of makes it work a little, doesn't
he? Yeah, in like a dirty pretty boy kind of way.
You got to be really good looking to do the non-connecting beard.
Yeah. How do we feel about sideburns?
Alone?
They're poised for a comeback.
That's why I asked.
Are they not?
I feel like it's been a minute since we've seen or talked about people with sideburns that are really adding to society.
In a world where everything comes back, it has not really made a move.
We're in mid-beard times right now. We are living through a renaissance of beards. I just got off a plane from Vegas for a couple of days, and I played a little poker, and I observed that of the eight players at the table, including myself, six had beards.
Wow.
Yeah, very popular. Yeah. But yet the sideburn.
Yeah, it could have been a beard convention.
The sideburn is not coming back.
I think it also makes your face look puffy. You know, it adds dimension to your cheek. But
there was the, you know, statesman type sideburny thing from, 1761.
Sure.
And then we took while off, and then we got to 1974, and it just made a comeback.
But you're right to say, like, the Dylan McKays and the 90210, a very coiffed sideburn.
Yes. The worst, I'm trying to think, the worst are the guys who were old when we had to have mandatory sideburns or mandatory big hair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, so in the 70s, it was mandatory big hair. So if you were an aging celebrity male, even if you're in your 70s, you had to have the big basket of pubes, dry gray pube on your hair and the big sideburns.
Now that I think about it, the only two players at the table, the poker table at the Aria in Vegas that didn't have a beard, old guy, Asian guy.
Well, Asian guy.
In my defense, I have a goatee, Brian. You bigot.
I'm beard shaving.
I was playing in a poker tournament. It was my friend's charity game, okay? And I was there. I didn't know you needed a beard to play, but I do think that the sideburns are making a comeback. You know, we're actually doing a whole episode, Adam, about facial
Dr.
hair
Phil?
And what it can do for you.
Like,
okay?
I didn't know I had sideburns.
Exactly. There's people out there right now, okay, who are just scissoring their neighbor, being like, I have sideburn potential. But I haven't looked in the mirror to ask myself, is this what I want? I'll have a Fu Manchu. Yeah, I was in a Backstreet Boys cover band. Did I want to be? No. I was double dog dared, and I took it up. But sideburns say one thing. I'm recently divorced. I know how to butt fuck, and I'm going to draw for an Uno. We'll be right back.
Can we agree that you have to be really good looking to pull off a mustache?
Yeah.
But 1,000%. On the right guy makes him even better looking.
About the aforementioned Top Gun and Rooster?
That's right.
Looked pretty damn good.
He looked in the latest Top Gun. Yeah. Yes, that worked well.
Yeah.
Of course, there's
was
Tom
he related
Selleck.
To Goose in the movie?
Hard
I couldn't
to say.
Tell.
Hard to tell.
He played the piano.
He had
wore the
same. Wine. He wore his clothes.
There were clues.
How about when your dad shaves his mustache for the first time? Or when your mom shaves her mustache for the first time? And you're like, who are you?
Well, speaking of beards and gender, you know, a big thing I'm just learning about is a thing called PCOS. Mm-hmm. That a lot of women have, like polycystic ovary something. I don't know. I don't have it, but it's like a thing now. And a lot of, apparently, the symptom of it, side effect, like bushy beard.
Oh, really?
A lot of facial hair.
There was a woman at our temple Beth Am, and she worked at the gift shop. I wish I could remember her name. And she had, it was the first time, third, fourth grade that she started working there. And, you know, as you're growing up, you're like, there's still a lot of stuff I haven't seen in the world, in life. I haven't seen snow yet. I haven't seen fucking, you know, you know, a little person, and I see this woman at the gift shop with a full on beard.
Oh wow!
And you know what? I happy to report. I was just like, all right.
Yeah, you know
now,
what?
I'll just add this to my list of things to go, fuck yeah, that's what this world provides.
I had this thought the other day traveling down the freeway. I think it's an 80s thing. Women used to bleach their upper lip. Mm-hmm. It was a thing. And I remember being in like, this was like sort of late, early 80s. Like I was in high school. And it was the whole thing, like, oh, you got that little hair in your upper, you got to bleach it. And I was like, well, then you look like Nick Nolte at this point. Like, I can see a blonde. Nick Nolte has a fine blonde mustache,
yeah,
but it's visible.
From a mile away.
There was a upper lip bleach thing that was an 80s chick thing, and I don't know why they couldn't get the wax going.
Yeah, that's like, I'm washing my hair. I'm bleaching my upper lip.
Oh, my God. The most terrified I'd ever been was I was at our me and my friend Chris went over to our friend Esty's house. She was an Esther, but she was an SD. Mm-hmm. And her dad was a scary contractor who drove like a Ranchero or an El Camino.
Nice.
So like he used to be able to make a statement by the car. You're like, that guy's driving a Ranchero. Yeah. He's a badass. Yeah. Don't fuck with the dude in the El Camino.
He's got two laptops.
Pulled up in that El Camino, that Ranchero. He was also Israeli.
Oh, boy.
And Esty made the mistake of just leaving us alone in their house. Her parents weren't there. She went out. Me and my buddy Chris were just alone. And we found that pot. That weird little waxing pot. Mm-hmm. It's a little pot, little mm-hmm. tin pot with rock hard wax in it. And
you
we're like,
melt it.
We're going to wax our eyebrows because we had that our third eyebrow. We had one eyebrow.
Has she fucking met you? Why would she leave you in there?
She left us in there. And so we went and put the flame on the pot and the stove. And then we went out to the pool to like play grab ass. And when we came in, it was on fire.
Yeah.
The pot was just, and there was, If you ever burn plastic or wax, it leaves all this weird residue, floats up in the air, and it settles down on everything. And then when you wipe it down, it just smears. It's this black soot everywhere.
What did Abba think of that when he got home?
This is the weirdest experience ever. I'm standing in the kitchen. I've opened every window because the kitchen is black. Then I had this experience. I was like, oh, there's this black soot everywhere. I got the thing of easy off oven cleaner, mm-hmm. right? And I'm like, I got to clean this place up. I sprayed the oven cleaner all along the hood vent, the avocado sheet metal mm-hmm. green hood vent, wiped it, and the paint came right off.
Oh, my God.
Like a big white streak of primer. I'm like, oh.
You're Mr. Bean.
It's on now. Like this oven cleaner just took the paint off this guy's vent hood. And his dad's, you know, it's a commando. And I'm standing there by the window, and it's wide open. I'm, like, shaking the curtains. I'm trying to air it out. There's smoke everywhere. And he pulls up in his El Camino on the street, right in front of the window. Oh, and I'm like, oh, my God. And my buddy Chris goes, I'm out. And he just hides.
What the fuck?
He runs out. He literally runs out the back door, and I'm looking at him through the window. And he rolls the window down of his El Camino, and he goes, is Estee here?
Oh.
And I go, no, she's not here. I don't know. I don't know where she went. And he went, okay. And he left.
Oh,
he literally, what are the chances? He drove to his house.
Deus ex machina.
Yeah, Hashem was looking out for him.
Never got out of the car, just yelled at me through the window and sped off.
So do we know what happened when he saw that? Did he
shit? I went and found my friend Chris, who was like cowering in a closet, got him out. And we kept cleaning, but each time we cleaned, more would just settle. If you light a pot of that weird wax up, it just burns. It burns like plastic, and it's weird all. And it just, every time we'd wipe down the counter, we'd come back, and it would have settled again. It was a disaster.
You look like the chimney sweep in Mary Poppins.
I took the pot, and we ran. We just left. And then I got the call from Esty. And she did one of these things where, like, the mom was on the other line but didn't say anything.
Mm. Oh, I hate those days.
About how she just got her kitchen remodeled and now taken the paint off the hood vent and it's destroyed. And what was I doing? And I was like, and then she said to me, no, you know what happened? Her mom wasn't on the other Her mom wasn't on the airline.
That's an old school move.
It was Esty, and she was like, what the hell happened, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I panicked, and she said to me, all right, the next day, I'm going to visit my grandmother in Pasadena, and you have to come with me because I'm going to be bored. And
that's punishment.
You owe me. And I said, fine, just pick me up at noon. And when she pulled up the driveway, her mom was in the car.
Oh.
And that fucked my shit
up. It's a sting.
Yeah. That was
bait
that
car.
Was
that's also pre-iPad, YouTube. So, like, you leave kids alone. I mean,
yeah. What are you going to do?
What when has there not been some sort of, you know. Yeah.
But what's do you remember bleaching the upper lip?
I remember seeing a lot of those offered at like the drugstore, and I don't even know where those are now.
But you would wax your upper lip now.
Was there so much success with the waxing or the bleaching of the upper lip that we were like, well, you know what's next? The butthole. Like,
yeah.
How did we get from there to there? Or was
slippery
it, did we
slope.
Start with butthole and go to lip?
You know what?
Which
one
was the same
that.
Piece of strip? Yeah, you're right. Strip.
Because one of them must have been so successful.
I've done one and not the other, and it's very painful.
Just about.
I know Christy's not every woman, but she does laser. I assume that's the trend, less painful, more
it's
efficient.
Very painful.
Well, the less painful than waxing.
No.
Oh, my. It hurts.
Brian, laser?
There's a laser going into my butt. The aliens are going to do it.
No,
I'm not.
Laser
I meant
hurts.
The lip.
No.
Oh, okay.
Laser, I've
so
done,
did I.
I've done arms. I've done underarms. Laser hurts like a motherfucker. Waxing, it's just they rip it off. It's done.
Yeah,
you get on with your life.
Okay.
I found laser to be very painful. When I was saying I did one, not the other, I was saying I've between bleaching and waxing, I've done one, not the other.
Gotcha. Do they sell women's upper lip bleach in 2022.
There's still old ladies out there.
All right, I'm going to have you look for that. I'll tell you guys about JB Weld, World's Strongest Bond. The brand DIYers and pros have trusted for over 50 years. You can use their epoxies, super glues, putty sticks, and wraps for projects big and small on practically any surface. Metal, wood, plastics, glass, ceramics. You can keep it in your kitchen drawer or your toolbox or keep it down with the craft supplies. Let's not be an ugly American, people, and throw everything in a landfill. If it breaks, you fix it with JB Weld. Also, they're the proud owner of Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. So if you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner, they got you covered. You got a quick email there, Emmy?
We do. We have an email submission from Chris Keeling in Kansas City. Mm. He writes, Hi, Guy. I'm a huge fan of the show, and I wanted to share my successful use of JB Weld to fix a hole in my pontoon boat.
Mm.
I didn't have a chance to get the split in the pontoon welded and had a deadline to get the boat in the water. After many hours of listening to Ace, suddenly it came to me. JB Weld to the rescue. I pressure tested after the JB Weld cured, and absolutely no air escaped. The boat is on the water, and the repair is holding up great. What an amazing product. You guys are awesome. Love all the pods.
Yeah.
Love you and love us some JB Weld. Available at jbweld.com. Home Depot, so Lowe's, bad. Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And it's proudly made in the U.S. of A. That is JB Weld. All right. We'll take a quick break. Come back with the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Meet news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, we know that there was another gunman incident in Tulsa recently, but not random. This is one of those other, you know, we always talk about you'd rather not have someone on the street that just kills randomly. And
yes.
I agree. I would also rather not have this guy on the street. He killed four people. He wounded many others in an Oklahoma medical building Wednesday. He was the patient of the doctor he was gunning for, according to the Tulsa police officer.
Oh,
police chief.
There's been a few of those.
Yeah.
over the years.
Yeah.
Do we know why?
I'll tell you. Yeah. CNN reports that the shooter, who police also found dead, shot and killed Dr. Preston Phillips in a medical building on the campus of St. Francis Hospital in Tulsa. Apparently, he had back surgery on May 19th, performed by Phillips, and subsequently called several times over several days complaining of pain and wanting additional treatment.
He went in for hand surgery.
That's right. Right. He saw Dr. Phillips again for treatment and then called him again. And that's when he started shooting and then said apparently he would shoot anyone that got in his way.
I wouldn't want to be a back surgeon. And I'll tell you why. Because knee, you know, when you do knees and hip replacements, that's just a mechanical function.
Yeah. So just a swap. Mm-hmm.
Everyone I know, half the people who have back pain have legitimate back pain and the other half are nuts. And it's all kind of psychosomatic and there's a pain kit pill, opioid version of this. And then some
people...
It
often ends up worse?
Yes. Some people say they got back surgery and it's worse. A lot of people go, never get back surgery. Yeah. You should just be stretching and we're doing all sorts of therapies.
Right. That's the Warriors coach, Steve Kerr. He was out for like half a season, a few years ago. And
did he get surgery?
His whole back surgery, whole thing was what you just said, was he would go to his press conferences and be like, guys, don't get back surgery. It's a nightmare. Just, you know, work out therapeutically.
Wow. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, there's a way to remedy everything. It just involves a lot of work that nobody ever wants to do.
No.
But
wait, are you saying I could have stretched my boobs smaller?
You could have.
I didn't realize that.
Great soundbite.
There is a version that if everyone probably engaged in these therapeutic endeavors involving 45 minutes in the yoga ball every day, that they may not have gone under the knife. But then you're dealing with a group of people who may be a little nuts. And so you're never really going to be able to cure them because they're opioid addicted and or insane. So now, you know, again, you get a hip replacement, a knee, a nose job. Pretty straightforward shit. The back, no telling if you've cured anybody.
Oh, that's a 50-50 roll of the dice, I feel like. I think a lot of people, too, like don't want surgery, but then the idea of surgery sounds like it you know, it translates to like fixing the problem.
Yeah, one and done.
And then some of them also are like, ooh, and think of all the pills I'll get.
I got to say, surgery while lying, you know, I sleep on my belly.
Yeah.
Surgery while on my belly sounds pleasing to me.
Sure.
Oh, relaxing.
You got your dick on the business end of the gurney. Right. You know what I mean? It's not just flapping. It's not just flapping in the wind while you got the Jesus juice
cord. I never thought about that.
There's not your dick flopping in the wind.
Sure. By the way, you just set up this great scenario where I picture a guy, first time getting surgery, not knowing like anything about it, and he lays down and he's like, you know, on his back, and then maybe he's getting like a knee thing or an ankle, and then they're like, all right, well, we're going to put you to sleep. Just count down from 10. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're not going to do anything to my dick, are you?
Well, there's phantom boner. I mean, who knows?
You get hard during surgery?
Well.
What are you thinking about?
Who knows?
Can you get a boner in a coma?
Here's my point.
A coma
boner? I love that children's book.
You can.
Judy Blume, shout out.
You can impregnate someone who's in a coma.
That's true.
That much I've figured out.
We've done that news story.
I don't know if there's ever been more grounds for firing somebody
for
worked at a hospital.
Yeah.
Like the janitor who wasn't taking care of the ladies' women's room very well. Yeah. Maybe you give him a slap on the wrist. But if you impregnate someone who's in this facility in a coma, which definitely happens.
Yes, I think it was Arizona.
It's every state in the union. It's quite frequent.
Oh,
I've heard of stories of people like, you know, performing things on people when they're under in like the dentist's office.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But the coma.
The coma seems like.
It has to happen because you're taking guys with a GED and you're telling them, here's the key ring. Make sure all the lights are shut off before you leave the hospital. And
you
there's Terry Schiavo over there.
And you work graveyard alone.
Oh, and you've been stood up three Saturdays in a row.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
You're blowing my mind right
now. I'm saying.
What do they do to Schiavo?
If I was getting. Not her specifically.
Okay.
But
I followed that story.
I'm saying. If I'm getting surgery, I want to be laying down on my belly with my face through one of those massage donut holes.
That. Yeah, no harm, no foul.
And I want them on the small of my back.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to be on my back, possible phantom boner, possible diddling. There's digit dropping and diddling going on.
A lot of people induced into comas during COVID.
That's right.
Oh, necessarily.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Necessarily.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my. I never thought about that.
Did you ever see those videos of people coming right out of surgery when they're still, there's compilation videos of people that are just high on
how about
gas
the guy?
Or pills.
How about the guy who impregnated the gal who's in the coma? Mm-hmm.
It was a guy that did a gal?
Yeah.
Oh.
We can talk to Matt Walsh about it, but yeah, normally that's how it works. But I'm just saying, he's probably there at some point when someone realizes she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how much concern and surprise? You know what I mean? You don't want to overdo
right.
it.
Right.
But you don't want to be kind of, oh, what's going on here?
No way.
At yeah, this, like, do you,
this curious?
Do you drop the mop?
It's got to be Dave, right? I mean, like, he's the creepiest.
Break the mop over your knee.
You're going like, this is disgusting.
No.
Like, do you protest too
no,
much?
No, you got to play it down the middle.
Yeah.
Or do you work like the OJ angle? Like, we got to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
We got to figure out who did
that's
this.
That's it.
You go too hard, but what if they start looking around?
No, you start dropping like Dave asked to pick up a couple of night shifts.
Oh, yeah, you go, Dave, I didn't trust that guy.
Because you can't bring it up because it's a whoever smelt a Delta thing, right?
No,
you have to wait till someone.
Somebody else has to discover it.
Yeah. And then you jump on that horse pretty quick
and go,
I did hear.
You got to blame the part-time guy.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to say you never trusted him. And you got to do weird things. Like,
he's never here full-time, man. What's he doing?
I showed up Wednesday, left to the bathroom. He's washing his hands when he walked.
He brought his own soap.
Something didn't seem right.
That was weird.
The Make-A-Wish kid was here a long time.
But don't protest too much.
Yeah.
No.
Don't go too hard.
No. We've seen it in every interrogation.
Appalled, disgusted,
and
judgmental,
shocked, and judgmental. Who did this? We're not going to stop until we find him.
Yeah.
I hope we gave everyone a great idea.
Emmy, there are those stories. You can look them up.
Yeah, you want to play it cool.
It happens a
in
lot.
Those things. If you are getting prosecuted like that. That's why I think Jay Depp pulled out with a victory because, were like, do you remember this? And he was like, I was fucked up. I don't remember. How could I hit her if I was asleep?
We're going to get into that in just a second.
Do you want to get too defensive? Like, do you want to go like, well, maybe he was trying to knock her out of her coma.
No.
Like, maybe this is a goodwill ambassador. Like,
I think
maybe
you
want to
hold off on that logic.
Yeah. That's
until,
the last thing you want.
Yeah, that's the last thing. That's welcome
so
back to the last thing
angle.
To bring up. Yeah.
Don't work the hero angle.
No.
Well, they say playing music they remember could bring them out of it. Well, how about a good stupin?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like really shake them by the lapels.
I found her diary, maybe. It said, if I do fall into a coma, these are the three things I want.
Yeah, it was a fantasy.
They're like, where's the diary? It's like, I threw it away, obviously.
You guys,
it's private information.
Tell me, when I was trying to sell my used pickup truck to a guy once.
Go on.
And it was an old Datsun pickup truck, and I bought an aftermarket fender and replaced it, those weird gray primer ones. You know, the loser pickup trucks with a different
doesn't
color.
Match the car.
And it didn't fit very well because it was repopped in China, and the gaps were all bad, and it was like the Armo guy was like, and what happened here? Whoever put this fender off, he should have, who put this fender on? This is the worst work I've ever seen. And of course, I'm like, I don't know who did it. I don't know who did it.
Who'd you find that guy?
And he goes, whoever did it, he should have his hands cut off. And then I got defensive. I was like, well, that sounds a little right.
Yes, that's
you know what I mean? Come on.
Maybe the guy tried
much,
his best.
You know
his
what I mean?
On a crime.
Yeah, and then I started defending my work through this person. And I'm wondering if it's the same with the coma guy.
Right.
You know, if I...
You don't know what he's
if
been
I get
through.
Too defensive. Yeah.
This guy's a sicko. This motherfucker
maybe
is
he's
being...
blowing off a little steam.
No,
you don't know.
Burn him alive.
Burn him alive. What year is it?
Flay him. Take his skin off. It's disgusting. Pervert.
You don't know. Well, you know, unless you've walked a mile in a man's shoes, Brian, I suggest you get off of Mount Pius.
Yeah, man.
Save the judgment.
Sicko.
We're all be judged.
A monster walks
Who
among
are you,
us.
St. Peter. Oh, my maker will judge me, not you. Not a.
You said you're.
Yeah.
As though, you're putting yourselves in the shoes of the perpetrator?
Well, obviously, he's not in the room to defend himself unless that was me, but it wouldn't be. So he wouldn't be here.
Airtight logic.
That's right.
Wow. Well done.
Emmy, is there a story? There must be multiple stories of people in comas that were impregnated.
Poor Emmy search history.
I know.
It's a bruiser for 2 weeks.
It's
probably a Pornhub category.
That's got to be a tough phone call for the supervising nurse. Like, has to call the family. Like, okay, big time medical news going on with your daughter.
She's
snapped
back.
Out of it.
She's back.
This is different.
Signs of life, brain activity.
Signs of life.
Oh,
you're onto something.
God.
There also has to be, like a three Mississippi, like where you go, like, you, Brian, you call me, I'll be the dad, and you tell me She's pregnant.
Hello? Mr. Smith?
Yeah.
Yes. This is Joe from the nursing award where your daughter is. Good news. There are signs of life. Yes.
Good.
Yeah. It's unprecedented. You should come down.
No, just tell me over the phone. I can't wait. I'm too excited.
She's pregnant with a baby.
All right. Wait, she's out of the coma?
That's the thing.
Oh, yuck. Yuck. That's all you can do, right?
It's good.
We have a story of a woman who was in 2019. A woman's in a 14-year coma. And the nurse got her pregnant.
Yeah. I think it was Arizona or New Mexico. Yeah.
I think it's sadly Arizona. Happened more than once.
You're
there you
saying
go.
It's prevalent, at which really fucks me
at
up.
What year?
Oh, wake up, Gene.
Oh, God.
Oh, wake
don't
up.
Be naive. Don't yeah, be, I guess yeah. I've been naive.
14 years. At what year did he go, all right, she ain't waking up.
Yeah. Got to make the move.
It's Judgment Day.
The long con. Right.
Yeah. Like, did he, was he like, enough of being a good guy? I'm tired of having to walk in and look at this hot, lifeless body. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been atrophy. 8 years.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, what, you know, is it? How do you reason with that?
Yeah, I don't know, but I do feel like
month 2, year 14.
You'd have to, like, I wouldn't attempt to do that just willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Oh, probably. Yeah, you're right. At all.
That's you're
right.
What he
no,
meant.
Adam's right. Adam's right. We'll leave it at that. Just at all.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I did have an interesting fact I heard on the way here that I wanted to share with you guys in terms of, like, you know, we're talking about red flag laws. First of all, Oklahoma would like to do what Florida does because Florida has red flag laws and it apparently saves more than 5,000 people since 2018. So that's something. But I heard on the way here, I think it was a New York Times podcast. Do you know where open carry laws in California, when that got fucking demolished, and why?
Mm-mm.
Because it was all good in California to open carry.
Hinckley?
No. There is a connection. Huh? What I was listening to on the way here is that the Black Panthers in the Bay Area, like in Oakland, were like, look, police aren't helping us. We don't own property, so they're not coming here to protect us. We're going to protect ourselves. And so they started arming themselves.
Uh-huh.
Freaked out Whitey. Mm. They did not want these guys walking around with guns. And Governor Reagan signed it because Whitey did not like the optics and was kind of freaking everybody out to see these guys carrying guns.
Huh. I didn't know that. Yeah.
So let's move on to the trial of the century, shall we? We know what happened now. Johnny Depp basically won the defamation trial against Amber Heard. The jury found that Heard had defamed Depp in the 2018 Washington Post op-ed and awarded him $15 million in damages. More on that in a second. The decision came after 6 weeks of trial, 3 days of deliberation. Heard was in Fairfax for the reading. Johnny Depp was on stage with Jeff Beck in England and couldn't be bothered to show up for it. Heard was awarded $2 million in damages after the jury found that one of Depp's lawyers, the Waldman statements, as they started calling it, made a defamatory statement against her. But here's where the money comes in. And I learned this, credit where credit is due, from the Nancy Grace podcast. So Depp's not actually going to get $15 million. She said on the podcast that he'll end up getting around $8 million because in Virginia, there's a cap of how much you can get for punitive damages. And that cap is $350. And that was where his $10 million was coming from. So $10 million becomes $350 minus the $2 million he owes Amber. So it comes out to about $8.35.
As long as I can do Finding Neverland 2, I'll be fine.
I think you're going to be back on your feet now, Johnny.
So. Well, that's why I went to go hang out with Beck, because I didn't feel like I needed to be there and look at that smug.
Yeah, you did say she'd never see your eyes again.
Yeah, you can't look at my eyes.
You know, I do have a
man. We have a clip of Nancy Grace saying that she said you violated her with a bottle.
Well, who hasn't, Adam?
It's
2022.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to get with it.
Also, it wasn't a wine bottle. It was a squeeze-it bottle. Those are shaped like dildos.
Oh, really?
You know,
much more pliable.
Fun fact, the guy who came up with the squeeze-it is the guy who came up with the dildo. But you didn't know that, did you?
I don't want to critique your Johnny Depp impersonation, but never say fun fact in Johnny Depp's voice. Other than that, you're dead nuts on.
It's really just good.
Johnny never said fun fact. He said those two words separately.
Right, I apologize.
But he's never put them together.
It's the Four Loko talking. It's, every fact out of Johnny's mouth is fun. It should be assumed.
Now, do you think she goes lesbian at this point?
She already did.
She's already there.
Well, yeah. Isn't she? She had a lady friend, Tasha Van Reese.
Oh, that's it.
And then I heard, but I could be wrong, because we're not friends. You know, she had a baby.
Right.
Named Una, that nobody really knows what's up with that. But that she might be in a relationship right now with a lady.
Oh, really?
But yeah.
Is she claiming Johnny made her gay?
That would be a tough sell because she was with a lady before that. Ooh. But remember, Kate Moss, who he hasn't been in a relationship with since the 90s, showed up via Zoom to testify on his behalf. She apparently, her team subpoenaed the girl, Tasha Van Reese or Seer, whatever her name is, Elon Musk and James Franco. None of them came showed up to testify for Amber.
I know the lawyer made that comment at one point. What's the lawyer? She's now famous.
Camille Vasquez.
Yeah. She was like, isn't it interesting, Ms. Heard, that your sister is the only one who showed up here to back you up. Everyone else is like a paid, you know, a sister. And look at all these people that came to, you know, speak on Johnny's behalf. And like no one is, you know, it was just like a in the middle of like, look how no one fucking thinks you're, you know, not full of shit.
Right. Now, I will say that the Elaine Bredehoft, she was the lawyer for Amber Heard, who I didn't think there was an acrimonious relationship between them, but she was on.
She dropped the ball.
Yeah, they I don't think they got along super well. But she was on whatever. What does Gayle King host now?
Gayle Jeopardy. King Tonight. Oh.
Thank you. One of those. And she said that there was a bunch of stuff in the England trial with the son about him assaulting her, and that the judge signed off on it and believed it completely. That was not allowed to be brought up here.
Do you think Oprah has another friend who she doesn't do anything for? You know what I mean? Like, there's a third friend that's really tight with Oprah, but no TV appearances, no shows with her name on it.
Probably.
She must have a third friend who's pissed.
How did Gayle get picked?
Yeah, they were young friends together, both working.
Are you asking, are there other Oprah besties out there that are just like,
we have never
always
heard of.
Emailing her like, I've got a book idea.
Right.
And she's like, we're good. We're good. I'm working on Gayle's show. So, and she's like, Gayle gets a lot, doesn't she?
Gotta love Gayle.
Gayle.
And they're like, remember, I met you like 6 months before you met Gayle. And I introduced you to Gayle and said, you guys would get along real well.
Doesn't ring a bell.
And so I got this cookbook idea.
I'm the one who came up with
Oprah.
For soups, you know.
Yeah. She's got other friends she's not doing anything for.
Yeah, totally. So now everybody's come out of the woodwork to talk about, is this a giant step back for people believing women? And I think I don't think so. That's what her lawyer wants everyone to believe. But it's like, don't you have more respect for a group of people who are clearly in some ways policing themselves? Doesn't that give more credibility?
Well,
you don't just believe, you know,
the rules can't be if you don't believe a crazy woman, then you've set the entire movement back. It flies in the face of why we have a judicial system.
Well, guess who disagrees with you? Amber Heard, because she put out a statement. It was all about that. She said, the disappointment I feel today is beyond words. I'm heartbroken that the mountain of evidence still was not enough to stand up to the disproportionate power, influence, and sway of my ex-husband. I'm even more disappointed for what this verdict means for women. It sets back the idea that violence against women should be taken seriously. I'm sad I lost this case, but I'm sadder still that I seem to have lost a right I thought I had as an American to speak freely and openly.
Is sadder a word, or is it more sad?
More sad.
Yeah, see, right there, I'm out.
Sadder. Yeah, she's crazy. And
to lump you now into all women, I mean, I don't know. Not that every trial should be assessed on like believability, but like, I don't know. If you should be, if it happened and all these things truly you experienced are like, you can tap back into that. I think most people that we've seen that have like, you know, whether it's the Michael Jackson doc or whatever, you can see in people's eyes and face like things that have, like, it just seemed too, like she was trying to, what's what I'm looking for? Just fabricate and like, just, you know, get the emotion, like get herself to that place. Like she was on set and just, I didn't buy most of it. Well, I think they both are a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Oh yeah. But to your point, didn't Camille Vasquez at one point, or one of the attorneys say, like, we called upon your acting coach, and even they said that you have a problem producing tears when you're acting.
Well,
awesome.
to Adam's point, Adam Ray's point, there's kind of a referendum on her acting ability, right? She couldn't convince a jury that this thing was true.
No. Yeah. So how are we supposed to think you should be in Aquaman 3?
I think there's a, I think there's something going on, which I've talked to Dr. Drew about a long time. When somebody's victimized, I don't mean by Johnny Depp. I mean by the family of origin. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When someone... Then
early trauma.
The different early trauma. The difference between the truth and what's going on in their head can often be a huge chasm. So, like, if you think about someone who was like beaked out of their brain on mushrooms, you would say this is happening, yeah. But it's not actually happening. But right. It's happening in your mind, right. And it happened in her mind. Right. So I don't even know that she's a liar per
right.
se.
It, that's the question. When does you're, she believe
when
you're, it?
When you're traumatized, yeah. It's really hard to figure out where you know this. Where this begins and this ends, where the truth begins and the lies end. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's confusing yeah. because I think in her world, she's going, this is what happened. All the ladies and gentlemen of the jury are going, no, this is not what we saw happen. And it, but it happened to right. her right. in she her mind.
It's funny you should say that because I was watching Whitney Cummings and Tiffany Haddish talking about it. And mm-hmm. Whitney Cummings said exactly that. Like, if you have, like, that early childhood trauma, whatever, you need to heal yourself so you don't damage other people.
Well, it's a big – I've known this from a million years from doing Loveline, which is – and it's kind of a third rail because you're saying I was raped or I was victimized or I was abused. A lot of it is a recreation of an abuse that took place many years ago before you had any control over your environment. But if you bring that up, then you're the worst person in the world because you're talking about them recreating something right. and thus they, right. they're culpable in it. And it's something, if you do Loveline and you talk to as many fucked up teens as we've talked to, it's prevalent. It's all over the place. And now we won't be able to escape it because it transcends lying or trying to hammer a paycheck or get a payday. It's like if you were ritualistically abused or abused, how many people sadly are being abused or traumatized in this country, then you will relive it yes. or reconstruct it yes. in some way and or summon it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you will,
you're a magnet for
you
it.
Will figure out a way to get a, what would be a normally passive person to actually raise their voice right. and maybe their hand in a yeah. vodka bottle at you at some point to recreate it. And now it's the tale that never ends.
So yes. like you're saying, it's her truth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's, and then it we get into her truth and now we're in the abyss when right. we start getting into her truth and his
well,
truth.
And make no mistake, being in a relationship or being married to an addict would fucking suck if they were constantly just like passing out or drunk. I mean, it's very, very tedious to be in a situation like
it
that.
It could be fun too, though. Like do oh, the sure. voice, do the Captain Sparrow voice, you know. Jack, oh. you know,
I oh, there's got to be a lot of Jack Sparrows at those pirate parties you're talking
oh,
about.
Yeah. I mean, he'd be the belle of the ball.
But it's not like, oh, like innocent, like the best little like angel saint. Like, I'm sure whatever to both of them. But like I do the way that his attorneys made her out to be by, you know, Dr. Curry or whatever, is that borderline personality, histrionic, like these can tend to be people who are. Looking for people to prey upon, and it's pretty easy to prey on someone when they're wasted.
Yeah, yeah. And just getting going career wise, and you get with Johnny fucking Depp
after
like,
Elon Musk,
and then it's just like anybody. It's like a
no,
young
Elon com- was after.
Oh, was that the rebound?
I think
it's oh, like a young comic that gets on a show. They're a year in, and they get on like let's say they're at a Supernova show, right? And it's fucking Carolla and you know Damon Wayans and Bill Burr and Spade. And they're like, they're a year in, they're like, oh, they're on the flyer. So like, I'm fucking, dude, I'm a heavy hitter now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Every young comic goes through it. You just trick yourself because you want to be better than you are early on. And so I feel like it's almost like she got with him and was just like, phew, Oscars are just around the corner.
Lane.
You know what I'm saying? And so she just kind of like tricked herself into that. And then it wasn't happening. So then that's why you could hear in some of these tapes too that she was, yeah, like jealous of his... Of him, his family had nothing to do with her until she got with him, and then it was like frustration over her own career setbacks.
Well,
and
also, I got to believe the bloom was off the rose pretty quick because Johnny spoke so slowly
mm-hmm.
that imagine like going through a drive-through, like an In-N-Out
sure,
with Johnny Depp.
Let's do it. Here we go.
Hi, may I take your order, please?
Well,
you be Amber Heard. Go ahead and order quick, Gina.
Hi, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get a double-double and fries, protein style, and Arnold Palmer, but a little more tea than lemonade.
All right, and what else?
Oh, Johnny.
Do you guys have cake?
You got a horn honk? Brian, do you have a horn honk?
I don't think they do cake here, Johnny.
Excuse me, we don't have cake.
Is there diet ketchup?
We have Heinz. Mm. You could use less of it.
Yeah, hurry up, because there's people behind us. It's stacking up.
Oh, well, it takes time. McDonald's is a complicated menu.
We're in and out.
We're not
in
even
and
at
out.
McDonald's.
In and out burger.
Well, that's going to be a problem.
So we have the protein-style double-double.
Yeah, I'll have the double-double.
Large fry.
Large fry, animal style.
Animal style.
And then
can I supersize my pickle? That's not a euphemism.
No. Sorry. No, it's just, would you like to order?
I don't even think they have
pickles. Sure, I'll have... do you have Fresca?
No. No, we have lemonade.
Boy, this is a
Coca-Cola menu.
We have Coca-Cola products.
For a place
called In-N-Out, this is taking way too long.
There's a long line of cars stacking up behind
me.
Maybe if you had a QR code for the menu, so I didn't have to stare into this.
There's literally a car hop next to you holding the menu.
Is that a Toyota Corolla?
Yeah, what of it? I mean, who cares? I mean, here it's a quality automobile.
Okay, I'll have two French fries.
Okay,
two orders of French fries.
We do a small
patty.
Fry.
If you could wrap the patty around the fry.
We didn't. There is no style. We do almost everything.
How about just a plate of mustard next to a chicken
they're
nugget?
They're in packets. Well,
we don't have chicken.
We'll do a small fry.
In the drink cup.
15 packets of mustard?
In the drink cup right, with a straw.
Could you guys just pull up to the window and you can climb through the window and just help yourself
like
to
your
what you think?
Right now.
I don't want to get into it.
Have you seen Chocolat?
Chocolat?
It's one of his movies, Chocolat. Come on.
You want a chocolate shake?
A chocolate shake.
A lot of chocolate shakes?
A chocolate shake.
A lot of... You want a large chocolate shake?
What is that, a grande?
It's just, we speak English here. Could you, I don't know what country you're from, could you just come up to the window and I'll let you in and you just gather what you want in your shirt?
I have a coupon for a pirate party. I'll trade you for a McFlurry.
We don't redeem coupons here, sir.
I thought you were
Burger King. You got a huge stack of cars backed up behind you.
They can wait, it's worth the wait. Isn't that your slogan, it's worth the wait?
There's a guy in the Corolla says he'll pay for the meal. Now, if you could just order, if you could articulate what that meal might be, we could just get this going.
That's John Tesh, he'll wait.
John Tesh?
He's behind me.
Favorite crooner and balladeer?
Yes.
Well, I don't even know. I think I made up a word. Yeah. Could you imagine having to go through a drive-thru with John?
No. Jesus Christ.
All right. Let's
I think that helped him.
Let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
What do I do with all these farts?
Gina
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Adam Ray is going to be at Mic Drop Comedy Club. That'll be June 3rd through the 4th, or as some would say, and the 4th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Flappers coming up. That'll be June 5th. And then Laugh Factory out here June 14th in L.A. About Last Night, the podcast. You can listen to wherever you find finer podcasts. Matt Walsh, What is a Woman? The doc is out as we speak, and you can grab it on the Daily Wire. I'm doing live shows everywhere. You can go to AdamCarolla.com for all my live shows.
I was just in Denver at Comedy Works, and so many people came up to me who are Carolla fans that were like here from the show, and they were like, I'm coming back to see Ace and fucking crew.
Good.
So
sweet.
Very cool, man.
Well, come out and say hi the 24th and 25th. Until next time, I'm Carolla for Adam Ray and Matt Walsh and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan. Say it. Mahalo.
I'm recently divorced. I know how to butt fuck. And I'm going to draw for an Uno. We'll be right back.
You can watch this episode of the Adam Carolla Show at youtube.com/AdamCarolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Get your tickets to see the Ace Man. Get them now at AdamCarolla.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.